Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. We're sorry we're on air late tonight. And my great co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening, good evening. Glad to be here again. Even if we're late, I'm ready.
Okay, great. We're breaking up a little bit tonight. I don't know if we're on analog or not. Okay, tonight's show, The Shadow Continues, Recognizing and Healing Parental Imprints and Parental Projections. And Veronica, you've been in touch with me all week, so you know this has really been up.
This is huge. Well, you've done some with me as well, and I've seen some huge results.
Well, I can tell you and everybody out there that we've been focusing on this power retrieval in every single session because it is so big. It is so huge. And, you know, I almost have to say that I think in connecting with some of the hybrid children, being aboard ship, I really think that we got an acceleration to move into this as quickly as possible. It just feels as though, and certainly we'll go back and revisit all of that, but I really believe that in order for us to move forward, to do what we really came here to do, we couldn't do it without retrieving our power. We couldn't move out of the illusion of this drama that we're all living.
Kind of deconstructing a whole cocoon of energy, isn't it?
Absolutely. Very well put. Thank you, Veronica. Yes, it is. And so I'd like to share a couple of emails. They're pretty profound. I don't know, Ronnie, in an hour if we can even give a total scope of all that we're seeing. I know that we're going to try, aren't we?
Yeah, you bet. But I just think the greatest thing is the changing outcome in terms of our drama, connections we make with people. That's the most magical part.
Yes. Well, what I'm seeing it is changing entire family and relationship dynamics. It's such an extreme way that it is, you know, I mean, I've used the word magic, but you know, we're all doing a lot of work to get there, but it is magical.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing that when we've retrieved our power, we can look at every situation in our lives and it looks totally different than it ever has before.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
I sure would. I always go back to The Secret, since it's so popular right now, but it's just like, without that release of the way we've been tethered, it's really hard to simply manifest. But this makes it much, much more possible.
Yes, it really does.
Mm-hmm.
First, we just don't. Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read a couple of these. This is a wonderful, wonderful message. Jackie, I desire to share with you my experience and insights after my session last week. During my session last week, when the loving ET beings assisted me in working with my father and reclaiming and the returning of our power has blessed me beyond words. As you know from all of the many sessions we've had together, I have continually returned to the magnified feelings of not feeling worthy, loved, adored, or honored by my father. Within our work, I have felt that if I had only been this or done that, my father perhaps would have loved me or noticed me. The deep sense within me was that I would never experience the love that I so sought. In my session, it was mentioned that I projected my loss of father onto lovers, and then because they could not give me what I so needed, I became angry and held back from them. This is a big one, Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
During our session with my father, my body vibrated as I reclaimed my power. I knew that my energy was changing, however, I truthfully did not know to what level. When we completed our session and I looked back at my father, I felt grateful and compassionate for what he had held for me. During the days to follow, more was revealed, and I gained a deeper understanding of what my father really did hold and keep for me. You see, my father passed away at the age of 63, 4 years ago, from heart disease. He did not know how to give love or receive love, and I never really took the opportunity to express how I felt with him. In a morning meditation, I was blessed with a compassionate understanding that my father felt so separated from his source and from love that he had magnified it for me so that I was driven to this moment. My life has been full of perceived failures in multiple marriages and relationships. That hope for a happy and healthy relationship was so distant and hard to believe would ever come true for me. Because of his soul's willingness, I was able to experience what I experienced in the moments of reclaiming my power back from him. You see, I could feel and know that his soul was so willing to assist me, that he was willing to experience what he experienced for me. How can I express the loving compassion that I feel for another who gave so much of themselves to give up the love experience so that I would know it? In the moment that I was shown this, I could feel such compassion, not only for my father, but for myself. You see, I know that all the experiences in my life have led me to this moment, and that had I not experienced what I had with my father, I would not be where I am now. Life for me is experiential and all purposeful and precious. My father did not desire to take my power from me, but rather made the agreement to hold it for me until the time where I was ready to receive and honor the power that brings me closer to wholeness. For many, many years, I've not desired to look at my shadow until working with you in the Blessed Consortium of Beings. The power my father so graciously held for me had the largest gift of all, my self-worth and my self-love. Through this blessed expression and exchange, my father, on the other side, is able to move more fully on his way. I so honor and, what makes me emotional, I so honor and adore myself, and the gifts are too numerous to express. The journey within is blessed with many powerful possibilities, and my heart and soul rejoice in the gifts and glorious awakenings to self. Thank you for the work and gifts you and all the unseen beings have bestowed upon me. Namaste, Jules. Sorry, that one got me.
It's wonderful. Also, she's so, it's such a wonderful expression of our interaction with all the souls that we're encountering as parents and so on.
The goal.
It's like a textbook. It's beautiful.
Yeah, the goal for everyone, all of you listening tonight, is to come to that kind of peace with everyone in your family. When you can get there, and everyone in your life, the lovers, the husbands, all of them, wives, girlfriends, whatever, when you can get there, and children, everything can change. Our planet can change exponentially, in a moment. And your lives can be beautiful. It could be all that we've desired. As you said, Veronica, you know, the principles of the secret can be lived to the to the ultimate, and you'll have those experiences because you'll be so filled with love that you'll be ready to receive them all so easily. There won't be the twist.
Right. We'll be dragging our shadow.
Got it. Okay. And this letter really exemplified, more than anything I've read in a long time, how going through this, in retrieving, in going into the shadow, into what is perceived as the dark part, and the gifts that came out of it, her self-love, her self-worth, her self-value, those are the gifts that the shadow does hold. And it's through the forgiveness, through the reclamation, through the recognizing of the role that people have played, really recognizing it. Just, you know, I've had so many people say, well, I forgave them. You know, I'm done with it. No, you're not. I can still hear the anger. And, you know, when we go in to do the power retrievals, there are times when they have to pull the veil down and ask them to please let go of their anger, let go of their angst, let go of their expectations, to be fully present in the moment so that they can really see. So that they can really see instead of project. This next one, is a little darker and a little deeper. Now, this is someone who is a healer herself, an amazing being, and she really got the lineage piece. And this is showing up for some people. They're experiencing others standing behind the one that they're reclaiming their power from. And they get this deep sense of true lineage. And it can be very overwhelming. And I want everybody to understand, you know, one trip to the trough is not enough. You know, there are going to be layers here, people, because you can't, this is so big. There are times when you can't see it all. Mm. You just can't. You know, it's just too much, especially if you have a lot of emotion attached to it.
Mm. The intricacies, I mean, it does rise after or because of certain experiences that we have. All of a sudden we think we're done, and then it all rises again, or not all, but some, you know.
Yes, it does. It does. I found myself going back in several times doing this, you know, over and over, actually. This one, again, this woman, this is an extraordinary being, and she just writes, saw something before you and I hung up. This is the second time I'm writing this. It disappeared the first. Have you read Carlos Castaneda's last book where Don Juan describes the beings that are energetically eating us up, feeding off of our emotions, etc., and us needing to be impeccable, the Toltec phrase, enough to unhook from this? It was sort of like that. I saw all those cords going back to this big dark energy, like the source that promulgated the thought forms or energy to being with. Here's one definition of promulgated I thought would fit why it came to me here. Maybe from Melger to milk, used metaphorically for cause to emerge. So I've called in my power back from that, whatever it is. I'm seeing an orangey glow and white light, but it feels huge, like wrapping it up, watching all those cords go back into it. That is unhooking. That is what I couldn't describe, because some of that wasn't like taking power back from my mom. It was unhooking her and me and the whole family lineage. And I couldn't see where they were going. Perhaps the lineage can step through the duality now. As I write this, I am seeing it recess from me, like curl up in a tight ball and get smaller.
Hmm.
I think the revelation about needing a bomb to go off inside of me is this. Like whatever part of consciousness, mine in the big sense, created that needs to send an atomic bomb in there to blow that thing apart with light. This is a really interesting take, but, you know, it's kind of a bigger take, but in essence, this is what we're really all doing, is we are opening up the corridor here for our entire lineage to walk through and heal, because they all exist in time and space. Now, I know this may sound overwhelming for some of you who are working on your personal healing, going, look, just let me heal myself first and then I'll worry about everybody else. But, you know, I want everybody to understand, they're all along for the ride here. If you're listening to this program, you are part of this process. You are part of those that came in to have a huge impact in the healing work that you do on yourself, which will then allow you to go out into the world with whatever form of, because everything is healing work today as far as I'm concerned, whatever form of work you do, to take it out in a huge way. This is from another woman where it's all, you know, I'll talk about her story in a minute, but this is the next one I'm going to read. This is a whole family, but it's a mother-daughter that came in to work with. And Veronica, you and I have talked about this at a very archetypal level. Religion, the twist of religion, the oppression of the feminine, we'll go into the raping and pillaging was the word you used, sexual abuse, everything imaginable rolled up into one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so big that they had to come in and do it together. and even some of their imprints are identical.
Hmm.
Okay, archetypal imprints are identical.
This is a really good example of how the lineage is right there. I mean, not only it looks like the human lineage, actually.
It's very, very big. And, you know, as I work with these different people and I think, you know, we're not doing average, you know, America here. Because I look around at people, you know, at the dry cleaners and the grocery store and I just think, I've said it over and over again, and they have also, about this being the hero's path. You know, we're doing this in a very big way. You know, this is not an ego statement. This is me standing back looking at it going, wow. Anyway, her process was, I've had dreams about being accused of being a witch in England. This is in the last week. And last night I was dreaming that I was trapped and confined to a small area of town by gunpoint. I had to wait for papers to continue on. I was furious. The rage I had inside was so intense. I just wanted to be free. Free to be, free to come and go as I please, free to express myself, be myself without the feeling of persecution. I was so angry at people who were pushing their beliefs and fears on me. I do not want to live in their world. I hear the sound of a roaring lion echoing in my head, and it seems to carry out to the universe. This is a very profound statement. This is planetary rage and feminine rage. I do not understand why people just can't let other people be. She's also experiencing, which I thought is become so energy sensitive that the vibrations that come through my bedroom walls are very disturbing to me. She lives on a behind a busy road. And I feel very tense and sometimes physically ill from the onslaught of cars, trucks, planes, helicopters, motorcycles, and people noise and energy. Sometimes I go into deep despair. My worst nightmare is to be bound and tied with no way out. Now, this is really archetypal stuff she's talking about. This is the feeling that I cannot even fight my way out. To be at the mercy of others is horrifying to me. It is like declaring a death sentence, slow and torturous. I read a quote from Joan of Arc, "To sacrifice what you are and to live without belief is a fate more terrible than dying. All I want to do is be free to move forward in every way, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. I need to find my inner strength. I can't give up. It would be a death sentence for me, like drinking poison out of a beautiful cup, slow and tortuous." This is, you know, people are going to the depths of their feelings here, and I see it as absolutely beautiful, and I'm also going through it in a very interesting way. And, as always, I share my stories, I think, because I become the experiencer and the observer, and I just kind of shake my head and go, wow.
Just going back to the last letter, is she the one whose daughter was also working on it with her? They're working mutually on their lineage?
No, this is she and her mother are.
Oh, okay. Well, I still think that's really wonderful. I mean, talk about your lineage nucleus, archetypal doodah, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and the stuff that's coming up, you know, from, you know, a witch in England and all of these other things, this is feminine rage is what she's really dealing with here. And the lion's roar that goes out into the universe is feminine. This is feminine rage. And I've seen it come up several times this week. People who, bless them, you know, were volunteers to have something happen in their lives that triggered it enough. And again, it's wanting to move forward, needing to step forward into their power. And when we're really doing this, we're going to have people who try to oppress us from different directions, try to hold us down, forcing us to step into our power if we don't do it voluntarily.
Well, it's the old thing about the crabs in the bucket, eh? As soon as you want to step out, everything contrives to pull you back in, right?
Okay, yeah. I love these little stories you come up with because I've never heard them before, and I have to really listen.
The other thing I wanted to say about that is, as we shift the way we've held our ballast, like, for example, releasing one's father, and then we shift the energy, everything around, all the strings that tie us together has to shift too, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
People start rushing around trying to make themselves safe around you because they feel the shift. They may not know what it is.
You're absolutely right. And I very much ran into this, I talked last week about the fact that, you know, as I went through my situation with my daughter, I realized that it took me back to my mother and realized that that's where I needed to heal, and also to my father. And because I was not able to learn anything about him, it became very, very frustrating for me. And
is it still?
No. I'm clean with it now, but I had two wonderful friends that volunteered, one especially, who is a medium, and she felt that it would be very easy for her to bring them in, or bring my father in. So we went to into the healing room last Friday night with the intention of this woman who's a medium and another friend of mine who's very psychic, she was just going to hold energy, to bring him in. And interestingly enough, my mother came in and wanted her say, which I, when she died, there was no, you know how someone dies, and, you know, we're in tune, Veronica. It would be easy enough if, you know, I never felt her around me. I never felt anything after she was gone. It was just nothing, right?
Right.
And she came flying in and wanted her say.
Hmm.
And she went on and on about how beautiful she was and how she was Betty Davis and Joan Crawford rolled up into one.
And this is recently.
Yes, this was last Friday. She wanted to be in Hollywood, and she had a plan, and she met my father, and he was supposed to do this and that, and he didn't keep his end of the bargain, and she didn't belong in the family that she was in. She was far too powerful and amazing for them, and, oh, she just went on and on and on and on. We really pretty much couldn't shut her up. And this completely blows the whole concept of on the other side of the veil that you're any wiser than you were.
Well, I told you, my mother continued to give me quite a bit of a lecture from the other side.
Well, I'm fascinated. But I was in awe, and I finally said, okay, enough. I really want to hear what my father has to say, because he... No, as you know, Roddy, because you've looked at him, he wouldn't talk. And so...
He couldn't get a room in Edgewise. Word in Edgewise.
No. And so he finally did come forward with... it was really very beautiful. He didn't have a lot to say other than he felt he made some mistakes that, you know, she just crushed him energetically. He's such a loving soul. And that he never, you know, he went on to say he never knew what love was until I was born.
Oh.
And that he was always with me. And it was real, and I did a lot of work with him prior to us going up there, just loving him, because I knew that he felt shame for some reason, whatever it was. And to me, it didn't matter. You know, I didn't care. I just love him. You know, I want him to be okay. And it was very emotional because he had, you know, he did say some loving things about, you know, just my face, my smile, my laugh. You know, he never got to pick me up from school or do any, you know, and that was very emotional for me, but it brought me to total peace. What I was fascinated by is the imprint of my mother and her being the builder, wanting to build, having a dream, and picking a man that she thought could help her create her dream. And when he wanted just to be a family, he wanted to be with me, she wanted to build the dream, and so there came the conflict, you see. But I realized that imprint, I had lived all my life without knowing where it came from. I'm a builder. I have built with every partner I've been with, every man.
Hmm.
And driven. I mean, it was like if we had a dream, I was going. I would create the dream for the man every time.
Hmm.
And it And then I looked at my daughter, and she carries the same imprint.
Hmm.
And I looked at my granddaughter, and she carries the same imprint. And my daughter's frustration, you know, man after man trying to get a man who would build the dream with her. My daughter very much liked my mother, and when he couldn't hold up his end of the bargain, she would have to get rid of them.
Hmm.
And so the imprint, I was fascinated because this kindness, you know, of my father, he would get crushed by her because she would rage. And I, you know, did not realize until this session that we did how much like him, and that's what they kept saying to me is, you're like him. And I am. I have his love and his kindness, but I have my mother's drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it so interesting that as I looked at my son and I looked at my daughter, my son is this kind person who can get crushed very easily, the same kind of loving energy, and my daughter has that drive. And that it's almost as though it's a subconscious obsession, and she doesn't even know where it comes from.
Hmm.
So
there's another thing is your mom's rage, was that also from her mother and, you know, the women ahead of her?
I don't see it. I never saw it there, no. Well, interestingly enough, though, the family that she came out of were all very funny, very laughing, very, you know,
mm-hmm.
and very simple people. And this is why she kept saying she didn't belong with them.
Hmm.
Okay, she wasn't anything like them. She didn't belong with them and didn't know why she was there and wanted to get away.
Hmm.
So she had very little tolerance for people. She found them boorish, and she was very much a narcissist. And she looked like Joan Crawford. I mean, she definitely, you know, was way ahead of her time and, you know, dated the stars and so on and so forth when she got rid of my father. I mean, she did all the things she wanted to do. And she never did become a movie actress. But, you know, she certainly was her own, very much in with the Hollywood crowd in those years, you know, when Spiros and, I mean, it was a very glamorous time.
Hmm, interesting.
And she modeled for Frank and Joseph, which was a very famous salon, and for Clairol, and, you know, she did all those things. You know, she was kind of everywhere. But, I'm just fascinated, and I really want to encourage people to start looking at, in their own lives, some of the imprints that they may have picked up. Because I think one of the biggest things that I got out of this, and I may have mentioned it last week, was that from the abuse that I experienced, that helpless and hopeless rage that I wasn't even aware I had, was imprinted into my daughter. Not her fault. Now, I mean, we recognize we all choose one another when we're playing this game, but never in this, you know, this incredible drama that we're playing out. And we're doing it not only, you know, for our own soul growth, but we're obviously, there's a much grander plan. And, you know, I am in such awe of the way all of this plays out.
Hmm.
You know, and I think that at times we don't really, you know, as I look at some of the families that I work with and so on, certainly people's fear imprinted into their children, their struggle, their frustration. You know, if we look at it generationally, you know, it really doesn't matter whether you have money or don't have money. Everybody's got a problem. It doesn't matter who they are. But certainly we have imprinted and we picked a set of things to work with, a set of issues. And Veronica, what would you say yours were?
I think the rage is really important because I didn't realize it until recently. But, you know, when you're talking about your mother and her rage, and you and I have talked about this, we have, those of us who had really abusive mothers often have angry daughters, even though we're so cautious about not abusing them in any way, shape, or form.
Exactly.
And we talked about we've talked about how the child in the womb picks up the rage, you know, especially if it's a girl child, I believe.
Yes, I agree.
So it kind of slips through the lineage like it's some kind of, like once again, it's not just mine. It's one of the women who wrote, it's this huge, colossal earth rage or rage, you know, for all women, for the whole feminine thing, for the universal thing, isn't it? But it's a great way of passing it on. It makes it very difficult to find out what's our own. But as far as my own is, there's a whole self-esteem thing, which I see running through my father, actually, and my father's lineage. They're all really very sensitive and very critical, and each one is it's got this shaky self-esteem, and I'm beginning to really see it clearly as I work, you know.
Right.
And it just seems like when we did my father, we did the clearing of the father energy. My father, and I remember during the session, you and your team were saying, oh, my gosh, how much of your power does your father hold? Well, he is now much smaller. Every time I think of him, he's a much littler man. And the whole thing about the self-esteem, I have more compassion, understanding, and so on, but he's not looming large in my resistant legend, you know, the kind where you are trying to get somewhere because you know you can't because there's this pressure from my dad who knows I can't or won't or whatever, right? Does that make sense?
Well, I think also, what I'm sensing just as you're talking right now, I think a lot of people listening tonight have families who, if you break away, if you break free, it invalidates their whole experience.
Exactly. Yes, that's so, isn't it? So if they already have self-esteem issues, you're really crushing them.
Exactly. Because then they have to really look at the fact that they didn't have enough courage to break free from whatever their particular version of being held back was.
You know, that was really ironic about that is the whole thing is as you clear yourself, you want to be more free and loving, and it invokes a hatred in some people. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Those are the paradoxical human things.
Well, I'm going to go back to, you know, to Jesus, because I think this is a really, you know, basically they had to kill him.
Yeah, really.
He reflected to people what they didn't want to see in themselves. Because of his capacity for love, they had to look at all the dark within themselves, and they couldn't stand to look at it.
Right.
Because he was a mirror. And you can only mirror to people what they're willing to see in themselves. They couldn't stand, they couldn't get to the love. All they could see was all the dark in between the love, and it was too horrid.
And the dark parts of love have a lot to do with our strings, our attachments, our projections. I mean, all the things we're trying to get rid of go with love, don't they? You know, I was thinking about projections and how I see people. If I really love someone, is it right or is it bonding them or is it effacing me? Is it putting me down lower? You know what I mean? There's all those things that people go through when they love people and when they decide to stay loving, which is so different than the love we're trying to cultivate within ourselves.
Okay. You know, what we've run on this planet has been a very twisted version of love because it's loving to get something.
Right.
Loving to get loved.
Yeah.
And we're loving and afraid of losing love. I mean, we're stuck. The minute we love, we're stuck in it because all those other fears, everything that we run, attaches to it.
Right.
So it isn't unconditional. It can't be until we're unconditional. And we can't be until we take back our power from all of our situations and until we realize that all the people that played those roles truly loved us. that they weren't horrible, bad, mean people, that they were playing those roles for us. And I've seen, now, I will say this, interestingly enough, and this is an interesting piece, too. As we brought people in to take back power, there was one that came in today who was an in-law.
Who wasn't in love?
Was an in-law.
Oh, okay.
To someone. And he had been a minister, had a very dark side to him, passed that dark side on to his son, had a very twisted sexual side with women, and used his position, you know, that this has gone on throughout history, so this is not a new thing, okay?
Good example, though, right?
Oh, God, it was such a great example. And we brought him in, and he did not want to be there.
Interesting.
He did not want to be there. And what was fascinating was that in the retrieval of power, it was so powerful that I thought I was going to climb right out of my skin.
Hmm.
I was so antsy, I wanted to lay on the floor. It was painful for me. It was actually physically painful for me to go through this one because it was so big. And again, it was archetypal. It was literally part of what we've gone through on this planet for women around sexuality. And that's why it was so physically uncomfortable.
Hmm.
And he did not want to be there.
What was he, a dominant sexual predator or something?
He was a minister who ran the dark side of sexuality.
Hmm.
And use his position to manipulate women and do things with women.
Mm.
So, I mean, it is, you know, if we look back throughout history and the abuses by the church and so on and so forth, and, you know, some of the dark side of those stories, I don't know how much people know about any of this, but certainly there were a lot of abuses that went on. I mean, we'll just go back to the burning years as a case in point.
Mm-hmm.
That had a strong sexual undertone to it. Not only did they torture these women and kill them, but, you know, they shaved the hair off their bodies, kept them naked in the town, you know, in town square in a cage. Okay, that huge sexual undertones to this. And in deviant undertones to it, actually getting some form of joy out of doing this. So in a way, he carried, I would say he carried this energy. As we did the power retrieval coming out of the third eye, I mean, we had to pry it out, and it was so corded. It just went on and on and on and on. This was working at an archetypal level, and it was...
This was in a woman?
I'm sorry?
Was this in a woman?
No, this was in a man.
So this is a man who was attached to a lineage person?
This man was the father-in-law of a woman, and he was a minister. She was married to his son,
okay,
who took on his sexual deviance,
okay,
and the religious twist.
Hmm.
So they had told her that when she did the father-in-law, it was going to surprise her.
Hmm.
Certainly neither one of us knew how deep this would be.
Hmm.
In other words, it wasn't nearly as bad with the husband, but the father-in-law, oh.
So it's almost like she was carrying the lineage already by the time she got in touch with the son, got involved with the son.
Well,
not carrying his lineage, but I mean...
No, she was carrying the healing
cord
of the feminine, yes,
yeah,
at an archetypal level. So as you bring these people together... Okay, now you're playing out a very archetypal drama.
Right.
And it has some real amplitude to it. It's big. And it's been difficult for this family, because it then goes on to the daughter. It has been difficult for this family to heal, mother and daughter, because of how complex all this has been. And... the daughter was one of the letters that I read tonight about, you know, the rage, you know, like a lion out into the universe. This is literally you know, and I want to say this to everyone. If we don't take back our power, we won't believe what a huge role we're playing on the planet and how imperative it is for us to heal.
Okay.
And as I see this playing out, and each person is so unique. I did another one on a woman who I've known for 3 years, and who really had, this was very big stuff. Not been married. She's a very bright, very, very bright woman. Very sexual, et cetera, et cetera. And we did father in one day, and it was just huge. And then we turned around, and she knew she was going to do mother the next day, and I said, there's no way. And I said, I'm booked way out, blah, blah. And wouldn't you know, the next day, I had written someone's name in, and I'd written it in the wrong place. So I called her back because it was the anniversary of the mother thing. So I said, obviously, this is yours. And we did the mother. And again, she was doing lineage through the mother. All her lineage was standing behind the mother, the female lineage of the family. So
each one embodies so much, so many aspects of the whole entire thing that we go back into. Each of us is so...
Well, and, you know, we're right now just looking at the physical side of this. We're not even aware of the ramifications, how it's moving out into the cosmos to all of those other races that we're also attached to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's having an impact. That part I know. Because this is being so guided. Before every session, there's a setup for the person, but before they even talk to us on the phone, things have set up in such an amazing way that I'm like, everybody's working overtime for the orchestration of this. This is huge.
Wonderful.
Huh?
Wonderful.
And I'm toast. I can tell you that right now. My brain is just toasted. I have never, ever, ever, ever seen people transform so fast in my whole life.
Wonderful. The planet needs that. The universe needs that.
We know when things are working because we're seeing manifestations. Are you going to have some blips along the way? Yes. You're going to hit stuff. But the gifts that are there are amazing. And, you know, also I want to say to everyone, this full moon, by the way, has been a real bugger.
It's a blue moon.
I don't know if you've seen it, Ronnie, with your people, but I can tell you that people are hitting the wall today.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get emails since 7 o'clock this morning.
Actually, I have had a number. I haven't been working very much today because I'm looking after a 2-year-old.
Yes, I know.
But I agree that it's the build-up this week has been incredible. People are going crazy.
Yes, they are.
They're not going crazy negatively. There seems to be a productivity to it, but there's no escape from the stuff that's coming up.
Okay, I want to talk about a couple of things I've seen, which I find fascinating during the sessions. just to kind of give you an idea. Behind the head of the person that we're taking the power back from are discs that spin behind the head. And it's becoming pretty consistent that there's anywhere from 2 to 6 of them, depending on how tightly woven the dramas are. Yeah, this is like science fiction. I've got to write a book. I keep saying I've got to write a book. I need the volume now. And we'll have them ask to have one of those discs, if it belongs to the person retrieving the power, to return to them. And that disc just, zoom, whips right out of that configuration behind the head and comes back behind the person retrieving their power. And, I look at some of this stuff and I think, what the heck? and going into the sacral center, at the back side of the sacral center, It is. I would need someone to do a special effects thing for me, because what I see is so, I've never seen anything like it. There's no, I don't even know if I could describe it other than it looks like a storm when you look inside of it. And with lightning and dark clouds, and it's all in motion and movement. And as you pull your piece out of it, it has to be twisted to the right, twisted to the left, lifted a little bit, because it's all these tentacles, or whatever they are all woven into all of the dramas. And as you lift it out, it's very, there's some kind of here we go back to this sacred dispensation thing of allowing this to occur for you to literally pull your piece out of the drama.
Mm.
And return the other person's piece from your behind you, which requires your guides and all kinds of beings assisting, and because you can't see to go back there to do it. And and then when we get behind the heart, on the back side of the heart, on the back, when you retrieve your piece from there, this huge opening between the shoulder blades, and you return a piece, their piece to them, it literally goes in like what looks like a universe, and literally just moves in. It's so surreal that it's like science fiction.
Hmm.
And this is why I say we're operating now in something that I've never seen. This is where I become the participant and the observer, and I just, oh my God.
What do you think the discs represent? Are they kind of just an energy or like an information source or a holding thing? Plate of information, a CD, an interdimensional CD?
Okay, the configuration, the best I can give you, Veronica, is this. Your energy is below the feet of the person, above the head of the person. There is this disc behind the head, and there is this huge woven together, what I would call, it's a tapestry, if you will, but it's certainly, that's a very limited word for it. It's part of your crystalline set, part of your blueprint.
Hmm.
Okay? And then there is some form of a heart piece, the backside of the heart, very powerful, often referred to as one of the Metatronic channels. So, you know, from a scientific perspective, I don't know, except that it's almost as though, if I were to say to you, if you were the greatest director and you were playing all the roles and you had to make it all look real, you would have, it's almost like animatronics. Okay, you know what that is?
Nope.
Okay, there are these like statues that move and look like they're human and talk,
okay,
and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever seen them. But
I don't know either. I'm trying to figure it out.
Well, they have them here in Las Vegas, of course, you know.
Think about animations in movies that look like real people, but they're moving.
Right, and they actually do that here, you know, like they have a thing to Atlantis, the Forum Shops, and they have these statues that come up out of the ground and move and talk, we know that everything is an illusion and that if you turned around fast enough, the room wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
This is almost like creating a drama and having all the players, and it's like, I don't know, it's almost like their script. And your part in their script is one of these discs. And it's a very tightly woven, tightly knit script. Now, you know, there's some real... This is where I get real iffy, and I have to really be in my courage every day, because I look at this and go, okay, where did the authority to do all this come from? And then I just have to trust that it wouldn't be happening if it wasn't supposed to.
For the highest good.
Yeah, for the high... Oh, absolutely. There has to be pure intent all the way through this.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the most fascinating thing I've ever seen.
Mm.
And And I can tell you I am never bored because I'm observing all of it, and it's just, it's beyond anything I've ever imagined. But I recognize that somehow as we're all doing this, we're helping each other as each person takes their power back.
Mm-hmm.
It's making it easier for each one of us to do it.
Pulling our strings out of the great weaving.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And as I said, there has to be revisiting, and what I've seen on the people who revisit, the second time they go in, there's more. They're surprised. But they can't really see it all sometimes the first time. The first time can really be shocking. It's like, whoa. You know, I mean, I've seen where the energy is actually under the fingernails, around the penis, in the clitoris, around the belly button. And, you know, you would think from a child to a parent, you would probably expect that, but not necessarily a child to a father. And yet I've seen it sometimes. It just depends. It's really interesting.
Fascinating.
It is absolutely fascinating in the eyes, the ears, the mouth, up the nostrils. Today we had a man where it was around his nipples, on the male, which was surprising to me. So you see, and of course it's always in the chakras, but it's a fascination. And I've had people hide it. One woman hid it in the lining of her uterus, didn't want to give it up, under the arms. You know, some people who didn't want to give up the power, man, they had it hidden everywhere.
Wonderful.
It's really amazing.
Well, we are fairly careful little beings, aren't we? It's all survival stuff.
Yes, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once she took back her power from this man, it was okay, but he really didn't want to be there. I've never seen anybody who was less interested in being there. And literally there were beings that had to come in and hold him in place.
Wow.
Not in a negative way, but he had to be in a no-choice situation.
Just to get the job done.
Yes.
And then what was he like after?
Not nearly as powerful.
Hmm.
And, you know, which really was very clear that this woman who was retrieving the power was carrying such powerful feminine energy that he absolutely didn't want to give it up. Now, the other thing, and I do want to say this, the majority of the time, those that are giving back the power to their family members are so happy to do so.
Mm-hmm.
They are relieved. And when people look at their family member, they can see how happy they are, how grateful they are to not have to hold it any longer. And I find that another fascinating piece of this, that they've been waiting for people to take back their power.
Mm.
And in the majority of the cases, that is it. But I think some of these people got stuck, like this one that came in today. He's playing out the darker side of the agenda, and he's kind of stuck there.
In the dark side.
In the dark side, yeah. So, you know, we were going to do a process tonight, but we don't have time.
Well, you were questioning whether you wanted to do it, so I guess you're just answering your own question.
I'm sorry?
I said you were questioning whether or not we wanted to do it, so
well,
you're just answering it.
What we'll do next week, and I would really encourage everybody this week to really sit down, and I think that's probably why it didn't happen tonight, really sit down and take a look at your family lineage, your own, you know, just look at mom and dad and grandparents. Look for pieces that you have taken on or perhaps you see in your children as well. Really do some, you know, whether it's fear or struggle or whatever it may be. And then next week we'll do a process to, and perhaps they'll do it in channel, I don't know, to do some lifting on this, because I really think that this is really big stuff, really big stuff.
It's huge. It's very powerful.
Yeah, it's. I'm in awe. I mean, I'm also very tired.
Your energy's lovely. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm certainly been in process. For me, this is it. This is the biggie. This is my freedom. To have Dad where he's with me every day, and I can feel his energy, and I certainly would like to see Mom more at peace, but I'm certainly sending her loving energies, but she has to do her own process where she's going to go. It's not my job to try to heal her. She came to me and said, "Will you help me?" I certainly would. But we're all having wonderful opportunities here to really finally move into our great work and our biggest healings.
And sending a whole wave of consciousness out there.
It is. And, I just love all of you that are listening tonight so much, and you too, Ronnie.
Thank you.
I really, this is just amazing stuff. And it's everybody joining together. It is your combined energies that make it all possible. And your combined commitment. And, I'm seeing people who are, we're to bring this drama stuff to an end, so that we can be there for others, because people are going to start hitting the wall here,
I know many who have been hitting the wall.
My God, and the sightings are all over the world right now.
Wonderful.
Big sightings, and I'll have a couple on the newsletter that are so, one is so moving that when I watched, I just burst into tears. And an armada. It was just beautiful.
How can we see that?
I'll have it on the newsletter. It'll be out this weekend.
Okay.
And so we're at the hour. Ronnie, if you want to give them your website, honey, and your radio.
Yeah, my website is www.veronicaentwistle.com, and my radio show is Radiance by Design here on BBS Radio Tuesdays at 4 p.m., and it's a call-in show, and I love it when you call in. We talk about your process, your questions, and how it relates to the energy you're holding, and it's a lot to do with what Jackie's talking about. So I look forward to you listening and talking to you.
Ronnie, love you.
Love you, too. Thanks, Jackie. It's been a wonderful show.
Yes, to everyone out there, I say this, and I mean it with all my heart. A piece of me is in every one of you, and a piece of every one of you is in me. It cannot be any other way. We are all in this together, and I love you, and I appreciate all of you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.